Well, we're live again. It's the news, according to me. Good morning. It is, what is this? This is Wednesday already. Wednesday morning, December 28th, 2022 at 9:15 a.m. Eastern Standard Time. And we are live on Podbean once again this morning. And I do have a cup with me this morning. I'm not doing the live rumble thing this morning. Tomorrow morning, there will be a show. In theory, the show will be at, I believe the plan is to make it at 8 o'clock. I'd like to make it before that, but I'm not sure that anyone would be up to listen to it. I think maybe possibly I'm going to shoot for 7 o'clock tomorrow morning. I'll make a decision here before the end of this show. However, I am planning to be on the air, podcasting live tomorrow, Rumble, Podbean. I believe that will also include Spotify, as well as on Castos. Castos will be a recording. They don't have live opportunities on there. That's where I archive most of my stuff on Castos, just because the price is good there. They also allow me on Castos is kind of interesting. We're not sponsored by them. I pay for their membership there, but they have an interesting deal. Podbean, you have to pay extra for an extra. If you want to do a different podcast, it costs you money. Castos, you have a membership and you can have as many podcasts as you want, as many different kinds of podcasts. I could have a different genre altogether and it would be a separate channel, basically. On Podbean, you can have a lot of podcasts, but they're all on your channel. They're all basically under your one name. Whereas with Castos, you don't have to do that. And I'm still planning on starting another podcast. I had talked about doing it this year, in 2022. I kept talking about it all through the year and realized it just wasn't going to happen because of all the stuff that was going on. However, there is an opportunity for that to happen in January. So it's a very good chance I'm going to start a weekly podcast. A couple of different ones, actually. There's two podcasts I'm starting. One's not related at all to this channel. The other one is somewhat. It is going to be the conspiracy theory channel, where I talk about conspiracies and the real conspiracy behind the conspiracies and all the conspiracies that go back. It's like a double tinfoil hat thing. It'll be like a weekly show at this point, as far as I know. It'll be weekly commentary. Possibly it might get to the point where there's a daily little 10 minute thing. I don't know how that's going to go, like a 10 minute story, because it's basically going to be a story, like conspiracy theory stories, short stories, little things here and there that have happened throughout the world in history. And then once a week, there will be a longer show, like an hour long show or half an hour long show, which will just be me, digging into the current situation that we're in with regard to conspiracies and why the conspiracies are alive, what the conspiracies are about, who's really behind it all, that kind of thing. And they're not theory. They're all going to be based on fact and scriptures. So that's going to be the premise of that whole thing. Now, in the meantime, as we go on with the show here, I do have to talk about one thing really important right off the top, as usual. I have to talk about what's in my cup, and I'm really excited about what's in my cup this morning. I have vanilla chai. However, I used up at least one jug of vanilla creamer, the organic vanilla creamer I was using. And I have Cinnabon creamer now in my chai. And it is also yummy. I still have about a half a cup left. Because I'm not doing Rumble this morning, it takes me so much longer to get Rumble going. Which tomorrow morning will be the issue. That will be the issue of what time I will be starting. I'm going to shoot for 7 o'clock, and I'm going to try to make it happen at the worldwide headquarters. Now, what I'm going to do is tonight, I'm going to put out a small show. It's not going to be actually an episode. It's going to be a small show, which will be a test at the worldwide headquarters. It might be this afternoon. I don't know when I'm going to get over there for sure. It all depends on when my package arrives from California. That's supposed to be here today. It was supposed to be here Friday. Wasn't here Friday. I'm hoping it's going to be here today. Everybody's, my UPS package and my FedEx package all supposedly supposed to come in here today. So we'll see if that all happens. I'm not really too confident at this point that it's going to happen. And I've been I have a little bit of work that I have to do on my security camera here at the. Well, I think I get actually I have a security camera at the at my worldwide headquarters is also not performing properly, so I have to do something with that. It's recording, but it's just not. I can't watch it over the internet. Yes. So, a couple things. Things that are in the news right now. One of the things that's very interesting, I think, that's come up is this Santos deal. What is the guy's name? George? Is it George? George Santos. George Santos. When I first saw it, I thought it was George Soros and how he lied or got kicked out. I'm like, what is going on with that? George Santos was on Tucker Carlson, I believe it was last night. Tulsi Gabbard was actually hosting the show, which is interesting. Tulsi has been a regular on Tucker's show for quite some time. About every night, he brings Tulsi on there. I don't know if you've noticed on Fox and on the other channels as well, CMS, NBC, CBS, all that stuff. All of them have. By the way, I have a backup cup. It's water, and I obviously need a little bit this morning. Most of these shows have regular contributors. Sean Hannity every night has. You know, he'll have almost every night. He'll have the same people on all the time. You know, Lindsey Graham, Huckabee. It's just different people like that. And it's Tucker does the same thing. He'll have, what's the guy's name? Hal, what's his name? The guy that's the philosopher from some college. And then he's got the Tulsi Gabbard segment. He's got all these regulars that are on almost every night. Almost all the shows do that. Laura Ingraham does that. MSNBC does it as well. They have, you know, they've got Michael Cohen on all the time, almost every night. All their regular folks that are on there all the time. And that's kind of the, I guess that's just the way they do it. It's hard to get, it is hard to get somebody on, you know, spur of the moment, different people all the time. Now they will have different, you know, different individuals on occasionally, but this one comedian got kind of popular, which this video, I think it was a couple of years ago. And he came up with his comedy routine. And at the end of his show, he basically read the lyrics to Baby It's Cold Outside because it was supposedly a misogynist, very bad lyrics. The lyrics were misogynist and they had to ban it from all the networks. So he compared that to the number one song that was like number one for like 3 or 4 months. On hip hop charts, and he read the two lyrics together. He'd read one, and he'd read the other, and he'd read one line from this one, and read it from the other. It was ridiculous. He had to bleep half the stuff on the other one. It was insanity. Just and he just showed the ridiculousness of this woke culture stuff, which is absolutely true. So, interestingly enough, so Tulsi Gabbard is hosting Tucker Carlson. She's done it before. I believe she's hosted this show before. But she had George Santos on. George Santos is a Republican who won, I believe, the House seat, I believe, in New York, surprisingly enough. Not all of New York is, New York City. It's interesting, you talk to somebody from New York, they're very quick. If they live upstate, they will say, upstate. I live in New York, upstate. They're very quick to tell you they don't live in New York City. I think it's because they don't want to affiliate with those people too much. New York City, it's an amazing town. It's an amazing place. So is Chicago and L.A. They're all amazing places. The problem is they are being run by absolute incompetent individuals. Even the state of New York now is it Granholm? What's her name? whatever her name is, running. She's the governor now, who stepped in after Cuomo. Just as bad as Cuomo ever was. Just as messed up. Making all these laws that pertain to gun rights. Just that tells you everything you need to know right there. Pretty much making it, you know, you have the right to carry, but you just can't carry anywhere. You can carry around in your house, basically. That's about it. And even if you do that, if it's not registered, then you're breaking the law as well. So if you have children in your house, you can't do that. Yeah, it's the most ridiculous thing. The only people who should have guns are their bodyguards and the police and their forces. That's the only people who should have guns. That's their opinion. You should have the right to protect yourself. That's what the state is here for. That's why we charge you, 65% taxes here in the state of New York. I don't live there. I will never live there. There's also the issue of Michigan, which is it's like 5 miles away from my house. And I will do everything I can to keep from living there. I at this point, I don't think I want to live anywhere that doesn't have a constitutional carry law on the books for their state. I'm kind of looking at that. I don't know if Florida even has that. Indiana does. I don't know if Florida does. I don't think Texas does, surprisingly enough. However, I think that I do have a lifetime carry permit in the state of Indiana, and I believe it's valid in Texas, and I believe it's also valid I know it's valid in Florida. I've actually flown to Florida and carried a sidearm just to see if it was possible to do. I checked it in through TSA and all, checked the bag and did all that stuff. And then I showed up there and picked it up, and everything was good. Walked off with it. Some people in the family, we were traveling with the family at that time. Some members of the family were like, why are you doing that? So I just want to see what the process is like. More than anything, I'm just testing the process. It's not that I really need the gun. I just want to see what it's like, what people go through for this. I want to see for myself. I did. It was very straightforward. It wasn't a problem at all. Of course, everybody was afraid of it. No, don't take it out of the package. Don't take it out of the package. Don't anybody see it. So that's everybody's scared if they see a gun at the airport. Yeah. Because, unless you're a police officer, for some reason, they're never perverts, They never go crazy. It's like Cokie Roberts. I don't know if you remember Cokie Roberts. One time, Cokie Roberts was being interviewed about pilots having guns. This is right after 9/11. And somebody said, we need to arm pilots. We need to arm the pilots. Which, by the way, would have stopped at least half the planes on 9/11. Probably all of them. However, of course, the theory at that time was you had to comply with everything. If a hijacker wanted anything, you just had to comply with them. Do whatever they want. That was not what would happen on my airplane. I was a pilot at that time. I was flying. I wasn't flying that day. I was flying the day before. Happened to be on my first day off. I would not have complied with anything. In fact, it would have been, some people probably would have gotten hurt. Innocent people probably would have gotten hurt. But a lot of innocent people wouldn't have been dead. Because you see, if they can get to me, they can get to the airplane. Once they get to the airplane, they can turn it into a weapon. Now, having said that, this is how stupid Cokie Roberts was. She said, I don't want some pilot going crazy and coming back there with a gun. And just coming back and shooting people with a gun. Cokie, we can take you all out just by pointing a nose down to the ground. If we are going crazy, we shouldn't be in the seat to begin with. It's like saying, I don't want some cop to go going crazy and just start running around the city shooting everybody. Well, they're trained officers. Yeah, that's what they do. The federal flight deck officers are trained. They train at the FBI headquarters or a training facility out in an undisclosed location. call them FFDOs, Federal Flight Deck Officers. They're trained pilots with guns. On the flight deck, they are a federal officer. Now, I've flown with a few who have very strange attitudes. One of them that I flew with, I don't think should be carrying. He's probably fine, but it was one of those things where, you know what? You need to grow up a little bit. He was looking to be a hero. He wanted to be a hero. You could just tell he was looking for somebody to shoot. He was hoping somebody would bust through the door. He was going to be large and in charge and take care of anybody who came through the door. This wasn't even a captain. He was a first officer. Now, most of them that I've flown with, I had no idea that they were a federal flight deck officer until they told me. And they didn't tell me until the day of, and we were ready to start flying. That's like, okay, yeah, okay, well, that's fine. Because they have to strap on. They have to holster up on the flight deck. So obviously, it's going to be pretty obvious. But, you know, I had no idea. Or I'll see them going through security. You know, they have a different route they take through security. They can't go through regular security. It's like, oh, he must be an FFDO. I had no idea. I never talked about it. You never bragged about it. Never, you know. Those are the kind of guys you want to be flight deck officers. So, yeah. So we have an interesting thing going on here with Santos. And of course, now he's coming out and saying, Tulsi was interviewing him and saying, well, you know, what does integrity mean to you? And he was like, well, it means, you know, she goes, no, define the words, define what it means to you. So let's start from there. What does it even mean to you? Well, you know, I worked really hard to get where I'm at, blah, 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 blah. No, dude, Santos, you're done. Okay, so you're done. You've lied in your campaign. I don't care how hard you've worked. Everybody works hard to get where they are. Okay, if you've lied and cheated and stolen to get where you are, then you need to go. Period. Your days in politics are done. Okay, you discredited yourself. Nobody did it to you. You did it to yourself. You are pathological in this process. If you can't admit to the fact, oh, I made some mistakes. No. That's not what we say. We don't say we've made some mistakes. We say exactly what we did. I lied about this. I lied about that. These are the things I did wrong. You don't just say, I made some mistakes. No, specifically say what you did wrong and apologize for what you did. And then maybe we can talk about it. The American people will forgive you. American people are very forgiving. They can, as long as you're being honest with them and open up front, kind of transparent, that it's amazing how forgiving they can be. Look at Bill Clinton. Look at everything that he did. It's been treated like nothing ever happened to that guy, that he never did anything wrong. Think about and this is typical on the left anyway. I mean, the news media, they hated the fact that Bill Clinton did all this stuff and that supposedly Donald Trump talked about some things in the locker room. He didn't say he did them. He just said, just talked about some stuff. I got caught on tape. I found one recording of him saying some things. And the news media went nuts and said he's a misogynist, terrible person. You never heard them say that about Bill Clinton. Never. To this day, they don't say that. You won't hear them say it about Joe Biden either. And there's people who have come out and actually credibly stated that he basically raped someone, digitally at least. Bill Clinton took advantage of many, many women
Oh, that's just old stories. That never happened. I never had. I mean, wait a minute. Okay. That one time it did happen. Well, of course, that one for 12 years I did have that one affair. Okay. Well. Yeah. That did. Yeah. Okay.
And if you think that Monica Lewinsky was the only one, that's the news media's made it out to be that way. No, let's not even talk about Jennifer Flowers. 12 years. Had an affair with her for 12 years while he was governor, while he was president. This was going on. The state police had all kinds of stories. And it's all just a joke to them.
Oh, yeah. Women just threw themselves at me.
Yeah. You didn't take advantage of anybody because of your power that you had. This is absolute situational morality is what I call it. And the left just ignores it. They think Bill Clinton's this wonderful person. One of the best presidents we've ever had. Poor Hillary. She didn't get elected president because, you know, Russia. It's ridiculous stuff. So, in the midst of all this, let's talk about some of the current headlines in the news right now. I just saw a thing, something about Kevin Costner. He's going to split from Yellowstone. I don't know what's going on with that. That looks like a clickbait thing. I'm not even going to click on it because it's clickbait. Not sure what's going on with that. Biden's end of Title 42 halted by Supreme Court. Apparently, the Supreme Court has stopped the dissolving of Title 42. Title 42 is basically this deal where if you come through another country, say you live in Venezuela. I just talked to a guy from Venezuela the other day. Come from Venezuela and you travel up through Mexico. Well, the next state that you are in, the next country that you are in, basically, that has an embassy, that's where you have to apply for asylum and then you have to wait it out there. Now, this is not happening, by the way, at all. It's Title 42 has basically been dissolved on its own just because they're letting everybody in that wants to come in anyway, processing everybody. We have an open border. They're saying the border is secure. That's bull. The border is not at all secure. And they keep saying this because, well, unless you're at the border, you don't know. And the news media is not covering it, so they're just letting it go. And they're not allowing any cameras in. And occasionally we see some stuff going, you know, getting recorded because some senator or congressman will go down there and record things. And now I think that Tucker Carlson the other day, you know, but last week on his show, he really laid into Governor Abbott, governor of Texas. So why aren't you doing anything? Well, you know, we don't have enough National Guard. We're calling up National Guard all the time. And we need more National Guard. And he was making excuses. And he finally came up with this thing where they're going to take the National Guard basically and put like razor wire and all kinds of stuff up down there. You see, this is playing politics. This is the political football. This is the way they play it. When things go wrong, they like for things to go wrong, and then they blame everything on the other side because they don't want to take care of the problem. Because it's not the American people they care about. It's their political stance that they care about. You see, if they can make the other side look bad, well, look at all the stuff that's happening at the border. Well, the federal government's not doing it. Of course, now there is, I think it's Arizona. It's possibly Arizona. It might be Texas. They were putting containers up, empty containers. Like the train container type stuff that they would use them on the back of trucks and trains, shipping containers. And they were piling these things up on the border down there so that people couldn't get through, make it very difficult to slow them down, to keep them getting, it's basically they're building a wall. So they're putting these up with the hopes that it will slow people down. Now, the problem with these containers is this is where it gets really dangerous for the border guards. You can't see. You can't see through them. You can't see on the other side of them. You know what's going on over there. Now they do have aerial, you know, ability to see things aerially with drones and that kind of thing, but they can't keep those up all the time. The wall that was being built by the federal government under Trump was a wall that had slats in it that you could see through. So you could see people on the other side. You could see what they were doing. But it slowed them down. It stopped them. You could see where they were gathering, where they were about ready to come across, and you could confront them there. We don't have that now. Now, the federal government is suing to have those container shipping containers removed. They want them to be removed. How does that work? The removal of the shipping containers just allows people to pour across the border. So even when they're trying to do stuff, the federal government steps in, the Biden administration, the current DOJ, steps in and sues them for it. And then argues that the border's secure. They're being overrun down there. And they're not just coming from Mexico or South America. Coming from all over the world. And the vast majority of them are young men. What the right sometimes refers to as military age men. This is an invasion. There's no question about it. We are being invaded. Now, I don't know what their intent is. But if the numbers of people coming across our border were in uniforms, it would be a frightening, frightening thing. There are more people pouring across our border every day than are pouring across the border in Ukraine. And yet we're sending hundreds of billions of dollars there.
Well, you know, we've got to have this bill, because we don't have many candidates of any quality. We don't got quality candidates.
Mitch McConnell is a fraud. My understanding is that Jim Jordan, I read this on an article, actually a headline on a YouTube video, I think I saw this, and apparently Jim Jordan is potentially being pressured into challenging Kevin McCarthy for House Speaker. Now, frankly, if Jim Jordan were to be the House Speaker, there would be it would be the apocalypse as far as the Democrats are concerned. We would see a House of Representatives like we've never seen before. The things that would be brought to the table, brought to the floor, the changes that would be made would be unbelievable. Whether or not he could get them all through the House or not, I don't know. But it would be an amazing time. Kevin McCarthy is at the very least, he is an establishment sympathizer. But I would say he is a full-blown snake. And also just total rhino with regard to his ability to understand the principles of our nation. He's a total establishment person, GOP establishment guy. As far as I'm concerned, all of the GOP establishment people are rhinos at this point. McConnell, rhino. Republican in name only, which you have to kind of wonder now, as I look at the Republican Party, the establishment Republican Party, is it that they're rhinos, or is it that that's the way the Republican Party is now? They're not what the Republican Party used to stand for, but what does the Republican Party stand for now? I don't really even know. They haven't defined themselves very well. I know what it used to stand for. I know what it's supposed to stand for. I can't say that I am one anymore because they've completely disowned me as far as disowning the principles that was founded on. We either have to have some major reforms within the Republican Party, or it's basically lost on me. I don't know where they've gone. I consider myself a conservative libertarian. I'm still a conservative, but I consider myself a conservative libertarian, and that's not the libertarian like the Libertarian Party you might think of at all. I don't align with them at all. I probably would align with them just as much as I would align with the Republican Party at this point. There are some things within the Libertarian Party that I totally disagree with. Now, I'm not saying I have to agree with everything in that party, but there are a couple things that are just absolute for me, and they're where they are with those things is I'm way off on them. Ron Paul, I don't even think Ron Paul considers himself a libertarian anymore. With regard, he's a conservative libertarian. He does not consider himself to be a part of the Libertarian Party. If nothing else, I think the Constitutional Party is probably closer to where I'm at, if I'm going to align myself with a party, an official corporation, so to speak. So let's go through some of these headlines. New research shows that a third mRNA vaccine, this is, do COVID mRNA vaccines damage our ability to control the coronavirus after a booster shot? A disturbing new paper offers evidence they do and help explain the unending Omicron waves in mRNA countries. So the backstory is on this, that there's a lot of countries that are very high, have very high vaccination rates, very high number of their population, very high percentages per capita are vaccinated, fully vaccinated with all the boosters and all that stuff. They also have the highest outbreaks of COVID right now. This is a new peer-reviewed paper has troubling news for anyone who has received multiple mRNA shots, suggesting the immune system paradoxically weakens a crucial part of its COVID response after the third jab. This is a very strange phenomenon. It's not unexpected. This is something that actually Dr. What's his name, who invented mRNA technology, actually said this would happen because of cytotoxicity. This is exactly what he said. Now, I'm not a doctor. I'm not a lawyer. I'm not an epidemiologist. I'm not into those big name word things. I'm just a guy with a microphone. So just keep that in mind. I'm just reading this peer-reviewed study thing here. The immune shift causes the body to make relatively more of a less potent kind of antibody to COVID, displacing antibodies that attack the virus more aggressively. The change could heighten the risk of COVID infection and mean that people who are infected suffer longer and more serious cases. It may also increase the chance of certain autoimmune disorders, though that connection is more speculative. Now, anyway, worse, the researchers found evidence that being infected with SARS-CoV-2 after receiving a booster worsens rather than reverses the shift. The authors did not find a similar immune change in people who got other COVID vaccines, only the mRNA vaccines. The findings could help tie together case reports of post-mRNA autoimmune disorders like lupus and the unending waves of COVID in highly mRNA vaccinated countries. For example, Japan, where nearly every adult is vaccinated and boosted, set a new 7-day record for COVID deaths yesterday. The paper provides a very reasonable immunologic, I didn't think I could pronounce that, explanation for why the mRNA vaccine booster regimes are failing. A physician who read it emailed me, a quote, a great paper and raises a lot of questions which should be asked, particularly when you have empirical population-wide data that something's not working properly, end quote. And yet, this country is continuing to push this stuff on kids. Why? There's a strange phenomenon right now in some of the blood-providing centers. You know, they got these places around the country where you can give plasma, you can give blood, you can do all this stuff, donate all this stuff. Apparently, there is a huge demand right now for unvaccinated individuals in the blood supply. Not sure why that is. I don't know who's calling for it, but I read the headline the other day. Seemed like a very interesting headline. I don't know what it was all about. New research shows, I already read that. Students speak against the anti-white, anti-Christian, anti-American university culture, which is very much a part of upper, higher learning now, especially in major cities. COVID vax is setting records. Live vaxxed person had 10 blood clots. There's also this, of course, this issue is, again, another issue that's very disturbing, the number of blood clots that are being found. And the sudden death issue. There was another guy who just, 37 years old, just died. Pretty well-known guy. He was head of something. I can't remember what it was. Head coach of someplace or something. I don't know what he was. He was doing something. Just dropped dead. 37 years old. No health problems, supposedly. Arizona judge refuses to sanction Carrie Lake, says her claims weren't groundless. This is an interesting thing. Katie Hobbs, who was the state secretary of state in Arizona, who's also in charge of the elections in Arizona, who didn't recuse herself. Why do these ads pop up like this? She wanted to file punitive sanctions against Carrie Lake for filing what she called frivolous lawsuits. Now, this is a very dangerous slope to go down. If somebody files a lawsuit against the state and the state comes back to punish them for doing so, well, now you have this issue of people, it quells people from doing it. It stifles people. It pours cold water on it. If anyone wants to file a lawsuit against the state, they know that they could come back on them and they have to pay for all the state's fees. And the state will run up fees faster than you can. Some of these lawyers in her case on the other side billed the state and billed the Democrat Party $500,000 for a 2-day trial. All of a sudden, you find yourself on the sanction side of that, where what that basically means is now you have to pay for the other person's legal fees. And their argument from Katie Hobbs, this is coming from Katie Hobbs, her opponent, because she's the Secretary of State right now. The sanctions were, they tried to heap these on. Thank goodness the judge came through and said, no, her charges and her lawsuit was not groundless. It wasn't frivolous. They just failed to prove their case. That's just because he lost the case doesn't mean it was frivolous. So the Maricopa judge refuses to sanction Carrie Lake, saying claims were not groundless. A Maricopa County judge denied a motion to sanction Carrie Lake and her lawyers over election fraud claims, saying that such claims weren't groundless, but ordered her to repay... To repay $30,000 in expert witness fees. So they had some expert witnesses come forward. Had to pay that. Repay $30,000. Order her to repay $30,000 in expert witness. Governor Katie Hobbs, Democrat, and Maricopa County filed a motion to sanction Lake and her lawyers, claiming that the election fraud lawsuit was brought forward in bad faith. Superior Court Judge Peter Thompson ruled against them, claiming that although she lost the case, there was some basis for Lake's claims. However, she was still ordered to pay $30,000 in expert witness fees, which is kind of normal. She will not have to pay any other fees because they were going after her for like $500,000. She has not simply failed to publicly acknowledge the election results. Instead, she filed a groundless 70-page, this is a quote from Katie Hobbs, 70-page election contest lawsuit against the governor-elect, the Secretary of State in Maricopa County, and several of its elected officials and employees, but no other county or its employees, thereby dragging them and this court into this frivolous pursuit, Hobbs' filing stated. It goes on. The article goes on to talk about it. This is an article from Washington Examiner. You can look it up if you'd like. This is courtesy of the Reliable News Now, which is just reliablenewsnow.com. U.S. military equipment that was left in Afghanistan is now being sold on eBay. $4 gas could return very shortly. We have gutted our reserves, oil reserves. The price now in our area, the price is down below $3 a gallon now again. I think I bought it for $2.65, I think it was, yesterday. Pulled up my car. I need to fill up all my other cars while I'm at it. It's down low enough now that it's basically not too much to complain about right now. I mean, it's always higher than it needs to be, but it is up there, but not as high as it was. But as soon as the effects from this all come back, all the introduction of our oil reserves, we're basically in a very precarious, very bad situation right now. Something bad happened in our country right now. The oil reserve thing is a big deal. So $4 gas could return as soon as May, which that's when the whole thing now. If there's any kind of other national disasters that hamper oil production, like a storm in the Gulf or something like that would happen, some kind of a natural disaster or a war. Arizona judge refuses to sanction Russian tycoon critical of Putin's war found dead after fall from hotel window. This I don't know how many times that's happened. I don't know why these guys go up in hotels that are higher than the first floor. I'd stay on the second floor. That's as high as I would go. So we have, this is NORAD. What's this all about? This is interesting. He's not hiring any white males, at least not any straight ones. GOP pushes businesses to stop pushing woke agenda, companies agree. Meghan Markle fans claim Politico is racist for calling her a narcissist. Let me tell you something. If you're in that kind of position, you're probably a little bit of a narcissist, a little bit more than normal. Everybody has a little bit of narcissism. Due to the nature of the human being, we all basically have this root problem of being selfish. Now, selfishness is a narcissist. Narcissism is an offshoot that has its deep root core in being selfish. It actually has a very part of the root problem in narcissism is that the person is actually very childish. They are a grown-up child acting on a two-year-old's desires, mentality, way of thinking in life, where everything is centered around them. Nothing else matters. And it's a very bizarre mentality. Now, everybody still has a little bit of that twinge in them. However, there are basically four different types of narcissism. I'm not going to get into this too much, but there's a couple that are really, really, really difficult to get along with. Some of them are very easy to spot. Some of them are not. One of them is actually by design, it's very covert. I'll move on. Whacked out Boston school board looks into bringing back masks. They're going to bring the mask back. Now, if masks were so effective, why are we still wearing masks? Let me get into this. This, and I'm not a scientist, but I do know this. A virus basically is contained in water vapor. Water vapor, when you can smell someone else's breath, if you can smell someone else's breath, if that person has COVID, you are exposed. Now, when you're wearing a mask, if your breath is not too bad yourself, if you can smell the other, now here's the deal. If someone else is wearing a mask and they walk past you and you can smell their breath, in fact, I have a a very plausible theory about this whole thing. I have not done any scientific studies. If you've ever worn a mask for very long, especially an N95 mask, the inside of that thing gets like soaked with dampness. It's just the vapor from from exhaling tends to condense within the inside of that mask, and it becomes a very moist area. A warm, moist, dark area inside, right there outside of your mouth. And you're pushing air through that. And a lot of that water vapor now is atomized. Much more so than if you just were talking normally. Now, you can smell someone's bad breath, even if they're wearing a mask. It does not help. Maybe it helps, 1%. I don't know. If you can smell their breath, you are breathing their air. You are breathing water vapor from, water vapor is not droplets. Water vapor is not even aerosol. It is vapor itself, literally. It's also the largest contributor to greenhouse gases. It's the number one greenhouse gas in the planet is water vapor, not carbon. Not carbon dioxide. They'd have you believe. It's ridiculous stuff. So, I guarantee you, if you smell their breath, you've breathed in any kind of microbial stuff that's going on there, viral stuff anyway. Because that's where viruses are. Viruses are tiny compared to bacteria. Now, you may be protecting yourself from certain bacteria. No question about that with those masks on. However, then you have the issue of bacteria growing in the inside of your mask, which is a whole other issue. If a mask is worn properly, put on properly, taken off properly, worn for the proper amount of time, the proper kind of mask, obviously there's some benefit in that. Because everybody spits when they talk. If you're talking, you're spitting. If you're yelling at somebody about not wearing a mask and you're not wearing a mask yourself while you're yelling at them, you're doing more to harm everybody around you than you are just by being quiet, keeping your mouth shut. But this is what's happening. These people are just insane. They're insane. It's a delusionary thing that happens. It's not much different than the Trump derangement syndrome thing. It's just these people are so fanatical. Crazy. Is there any benefit to wearing a mask? Probably some, yes. Properly worn and everything else, yes, probably some benefit there. Is it to the extent that it's going to stop this thing? No. Is it? Joe Biden made the comment. Don't get on me. Joe Biden's not a doctor or a lawyer either. Well, he might be a lawyer. I don't know if he ever passed his law degree or not. I don't know what he studied. Probably was a lawyer at one point. He's no doctor. He came out and made a statement. We could have saved hundreds of thousands of lives if they'd just worn these masks. He was waving this mask around in front of us after he took it off when he was speaking this is before he was running for president. Hundreds of thousands of lives could have been saved if you just had people wearing masks. Really? Where's the science on that, Joe? Is that the case? Because in the same amount of time when you were president, more people died from COVID than died under the Trump administration when COVID came out. And you had a vaccine to help you out with that. This is the kind of ridiculous statements that have been made by this administration, by the people on the left and the news media, and they just want to pass for that. They were wrong. And they want to pass. They lied to us. They knew that what they were saying wasn't true. And they want to be forgiven for that. They wanted amnesty. They were coming out a few months ago. I think we just need to give amnesty to anybody who came out and said anything stupid. Because we didn't know any better. Just need to let it go. Oh, yeah. That's what you would have done if you'd have been on the other side of this, wouldn't it? This is like a teenager that basically says, oh, well, you know what? Let's just forget it all. Let's just forget it. No, you did this thing wrong, and now you want us all to forget about it. If it had been the other way around, you would never let us live down. You'd never live it down. Let's see what else is on here. Whacked out by, yeah, it's a full-blown meltdown. Not the weather, but airlines. Let's see what is in this. This is more than 2,000 millionaires fled New York during COVID. I don't doubt that at all. Texas mom fights back after school district demands thousands of dollars for records about her son being bullied. Professor says Little Women, author is trans. Boy, biggest auto week wreck in history as fog reduces visibility to zero. I don't know where that was. Profits and stock prices tank. Yeah, Disney's having troubles. Disney's having real serious troubles. Behind the scenes at the Southwest airline meltdown. There's a couple different things here. Let's look at both of these articles, see what's going on with Southwest. What's worse for your health in Russia, eating sausage or criticizing Putin? Twitter files reveal that conspiracies are real, deep state meddling. Yeah, we'll get back to that again in a little bit. Let's look at this one, Southwest. The blizzard is just one reason behind the operational meltdown of Southwest Airlines. The cliche about a perfect storm could hardly be more apt description of the situation right now for Southwest Airlines. A carrier that is forced to cancel more than 60% of its, actually, it's more than 60%. It's closer to 70% of its flights over the Christmas season, over the busy Christmas travel season, is as it struggled to get back on course after a devastating blizzard that socked in much of the United States. While Southwest isn't the only airline to experience delays and cancellations, it is by far the worst hit. More than 5,500 Southwest flights have been taken off departure boards across the country in the last 2 days, compared to 311 cancellations for Delta. Delta has its own issues, by the way, which had the second most cancellations by a U.S. airline. Analysts say Southwest problems are the result of a confluence of events, not just the severe weather, but staff shortages caused by the COVID-19 pandemic, as well as employees out sick with influenza and respiratory syncytial virus? Oh, the RSV virus. Most important is the outdated computer system for crew scheduling that turned what would have been simply a challenging storm into a full-scale meltdown. This is where the real problem is right here. It's that they're trying to blame it on the RSV thing and sicknesses. Companies come and go with that all the time, people calling in sick. Now, whether people were calling in sick for other reasons, I don't know, but that's, were they really sick or were they calling in sick? The problem they have right now is the computer system. That is their main problem. Scheduling, you don't understand. When you stop and think about it, the airline industry, you're moving people around, right? People are moving around. And the nice thing about moving people is that they do move themselves partially. Moving boxes around requires people to move the boxes around. They don't go from one plane to the next on their own. However, they also don't complain, and they also won't, they kind of are pretty much, you put them where you want them, and then they're there until you come get them. I don't have anybody doing any weird stuff like changing planes and changing seats too much. However, think about the logistics of this whole thing. Someone walks up to an airport, come to the gate, or they come to the ticket counter. They hand them their bag. That bag is going to go on the plane as well. So that bag has to be managed on an airplane. On an airplane that has maintenance schedules, that has to have certain things done every so many hours, as well as just things that break and be fixed. So you got all those things that have to be scheduled around this flight that's going to happen this 2.5-hour flight that's going to go from here to point A to point B. The bags have to be on board with that person to get there. Well, it sounds like a simple operation, doesn't it? Until you start looking at crew schedules, the crew to fly that airplane, the people who are ground support for that airplane, the fuel involved, all the other things that are involved in managing that airplane from point A to point B, the dispatchers, the coordinators, the maintenance personnel, operations managers, HR, scheduling. All that stuff has to come together so that you have a crew to fly it from here to there. And you're going to do that about 10 times a day with that airplane. Now, all that stuff has to come together like this big puzzle. And all it takes is for one thing to be late, one thing to break, one crew to call in fatigued or sick. One bag to get lost, or one baggage cart to fail to make it to the plane on time. This is the kind of stuff that just blows my mind with regard to the way these way airlines operate. It is a completely amazing process, in my opinion, that they're able to pull this off at all. And they are. They're able to pull it off. However, if their computer system can't keep up with it, if you can't schedule the pilots, you can't schedule the ground crew, whatever's happening there, things can fall apart very quickly because it is they are all dependent. It's kind of like this, all the pillars holding up a building. If one of those pillars is gone, the rest of the building is in pretty shaky shape. So the, of course, the Southwest brand is kind of a, it's like Spirit Aviation. It's a very cheap, low-cost thing. And they, that's why they struggle sometimes, I think. And then, of course, there's another article here. Southwest Airlines is grappling with a wave of cancellations and delays that are stranding holiday travelers, a situation the CEO says highlights the need for to modernize its operation. Again, getting back to the computer situation. While most carriers were plagued with by winter storms over the holiday weekend, only Southwest was forced to cancel the majority of its trips, pointing to systemic scheduling issues that have plagued the airline for years. The airline canceled more than 2,500 flights on Tuesday, according to today. Now, this is amazing to me. Think of what they could do if they actually had it, things working properly. I do know that they are hiring like crazy. I know they're hiring pilots. Got some pilot friends of mine that are just, they're everybody's getting a job offer from them. Because they won't offer me a job because, you know, because my logbook isn't up to date or whatever. I don't know. I don't know. They won't offer me a job, so not going there. But they, the, it's one of those weird things. You know, Southwest workers have long complained that their airline has failed to modernize its decades-old communication system, raising the likelihood of meltdowns when things go wrong. Southwest CEO Bob, now how much money? Well, there, here's the other dirty little trick, a little dirty little secret that you're not aware of. One of the things that is not talked about much, airlines have cancellation insurance. Yeah. So when they cancel a flight, they still get what's called marketable return. In other words, they have funds. Now they... Let's say you know everybody's paying on average $350 for a ticket for that flight, or $300 for a ticket, and you've got 150 people on board. Now do the math on that. I mean thousands of dollars that is. So after that thousands of dollars goes through, you know, what's your overhead cost? Just the direct operating cost of the airplane. And you've got you know the administrative cost of the airplane and all the fixed costs of the airplane, the airline itself, and all you know manpower, all the other things that you have going on. All that stuff has to be paid by that. Now, the amount of profit that they would have made by doing that flight is covered by insurance. Their profit is covered. In other words, I should say all of their operating costs are covered. And so they get this insurance money based on, okay, if I don't do the flight, how much do I lose? That's how much they get paid in insurance. With some kind of a deductible. So they take a little bit of a penalty. For the most part, they're still making money because they have insurance for that. They can cancel 60% of their flights, especially when they can blame it on weather because there are certain stipulations and tiers within that insurance system. Yeah, that's how they do it. And the government still steps in sometimes and, quote, bails them out. But I digress. So that's what's going on at Southwest. Now the other side of this, let's look down here for some other. There's some other older articles. I kind of wanted to see if I could find. Yeah, U.S. Army's having a hard time filling its ranks with volunteers. Yeah. By the way, shadow banning is not a thing. It's visibility. They call it something different. Shadow banning. We don't. The shadow banning doesn't exist. We don't shadow ban. It's called visibility restrictions. In other words, they restrict your visibility to other users of the platform. Now that's shadow banning is the street term, folks. That's they're shadow banning. Okay, they're just calling it something different. Like, we're not in a recession. This isn't a recession. No, 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 it's not a recession. No, no, just because it's the definition of a recession, that's not our definition of a recession. We've changed the definition, so now that's not a recession. Oh, what's a vaccine? Oh, no, well, that's not a vaccine anymore. We've changed the definition of vaccine. They literally changed the definition of a vaccine in the dictionary to meet the COVID, quote, vaccine. Well, we just have to change the definition of it. That way people don't hold us to it. It's absolutely ridiculous. But again, I digress. Well, this has been an interesting live show, actually. Here we are at 10:15 a.m. It's been a long show. It's been over an hour now. Not one single person has listened in live, which I find rather interesting. Now, tomorrow's show will be the 500th episode, December 29th. That's the day it's going to be on. And I'm planning on having it at 7 a.m. in the morning and planning on being live on Rumble. I don't know if it's going to happen or not. We'll see if it can happen, but it may not happen. I don't know. And I'm hoping to have some video clips and some other things that have happened throughout the year, and we'll just go with that. In the meantime, I think maybe it would help if I would type some things into the... When I'm just live on the audio, I actually have time to type some things here, so I might just do that. It's possible. We'll see what happens. In the meantime, folks, I want to thank you for listening. It's been a good year for the News According to Me. It's been a fun year. It's been a very therapeutic for me to be able to share my thoughts and opinions on all the stuff going on. So, in the meantime, as we look towards the new year, 2023, let us all pray that somehow there will be a revival among our nation. A real revival, not just much of hype, but people actually being devoted, devotion to the one who created them, scriptures, the word of God, principles that founded our nation. God bless everybody. Have a great day. Thanks again for listening. And we will see you tomorrow morning, 7 o'clock. Or 8 o'clock, maybe 9 o'clock. We'll see.